Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hey, webheads. It's Madame Dakota here. And guess what? I'll be making cinema history yet again because I'll be playing the role of Angus in the new Hey Fam biopic directed by none other than Zaddy Zack Snyder. Let's get it started in here.
Hey Fam, welcome to Hey Fam. We're recording at my house. Mm-hmm. And of course, my name is Levins. And not in his own house is Angus Truscott.
I'm sure they can tell the difference.
I mean, this could be their first episode, you know.
But they could tell the difference, I mean. Like, they could be acoustically. I'm being serious.
Oh, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a little bit of an echo, and I'm not talking about the six episodes that got shadow dropped.
No, she's deaf.
I mean, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts that are like, get into.
That's sick.
But the ads are like, I guess they're like, they're localized advertising. And it's like,
listen to Echo.
No. It'll be like, listen to Echo. Well, she's not doing that. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, yeah, I keep confusing her with Daredevil.
It's like, you know.
Hey, why is she called Echo? She can't hear anything.
Exactly. It's like, get into Disney Plus this summer with Echo. And it's like, man, it's fucking almost March.
That
and
show.
People stopped watching that show like 2 days after it came out
in
December.
I refuse to believe that show exists. There was zero hype about it. There was zero marketing. There was like, oh, I'm moving away from the mic, Tazon Day style. It's because I was sick. Yeah, I saw no marketing.
No one gave a shit about
it. It just came and went, and people were just like.
If they even brought back Mr. Fisk? Is Daredevil in an episode?
I believe so.
Yeah, right.
But I wouldn't know. Mm. I ain't watching that.
Yeah, it's baffling that they would. And then they keep like, yeah, it's like, what else they're rattling off? It's like. I think it's like they're talking about The Simpsons. I'm like, oh, yeah, yep. Fair enough. I
know 40 years.
That's like consistently the most watched thing on Disney Plus, apparently.
Yeah. I imagine people just chuck it on to like background white noise.
Yeah.
Yellow noise.
In the shitty HD, like cropped
weird
version.
They changed it. It's now uncropped.
Yeah.
You
have to select
special
it,
features. It's a special feature to watch it in its original format, which is sick.
And then the Percy Jackson.
The old bar. No, the old Homer voice.
Bork.
Yeah. Percy Jackson. Lin-Manuel Miranda's grasp on the Disney company is unheard of.
Wait, is he in it?
Yeah, he's like a god in it or something.
He's in the DuckTales remake.
He's in every. He's got his fingers in
2017
all parts.
As a Gizmo Duck. He's fucking awesome.
Oh shit! Like, hang on, I got to show you a picture of what he looks like in
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Percy Jackson, because I saw a photo and I assumed it was like him at a ringside at a basketball game.
Yeah,
but when I heard gods, I guess maybe the gods in this. Are like everyday Joes.
It's really funny to me when they just get him to be an actor. Like,
because he can't act. This is him as like a god in it.
He's just wearing a hoodie. Playing celebrity poker.
He looks like he's doing an actor's roundtable. Yeah. And someone said like, hey, I actually liked Hamilton. He's like, oh, thanks, man.
Someone's delivering something to my house.
Oh, I got something delivered today.
Well, me too already. Should I go see what it is and open it live on the pod?
Yeah, I think so.
And play some intermission music?
No. All right, Levins is back.
It's a big box. And I feel like it's something that I already had delivered today. You can see it over there. It's from KFC China. For the Chinese New Year, they made all these wild toys based on the Sanrio characters.
Is that business or pleasure, that one?
Yeah, one's business, one's pleasure. But I wasn't sure.
Which one's this?
I think it's the same one. I bought it. I accidentally bought it twice. Yeah, I've got it twice.
So the which same. One's business and which one's pleasure?
You'll have to watch my TikToks to find out.
I accidentally bought something on eBay last night.
Cool.
Because I was selling something and their UI
is... you bought your own thing?
No, their UI is so bad that I think at one point I was watching other versions of the thing I was selling.
Mm-hmm.
Like just seeing out of interest how much it was going for. You know, you like to keep tabs on... If you're selling something, I was following one or two people from Australia that were also selling it.
Yeah.
And then the app like notified me and was like, hey, you have an offer on this price. And I was like, yeah, I'll take it. Hit it. And they're like, cool, you owe this now. And it was an offer from the person.
Huh.
And it was showing up in the same area of the app where like your selling stuff is.
Oh, weird.
And I said, yeah, I'll buy it. I was like, yeah, I'll accept that. Of course, that's like $50 under what I'm asking for. It's like this... I accidentally got sent two copies of Frank Ocean's Boys Don't Cry years ago.
Yeah.
I was like, one's just sitting around gathering dust. I should sell it.
Get some moolah.
Get some moolah for it because it's like 9 years since it was released, 8 years. And I accidentally bought another one. But then I told the person, I was like, hey, have a look at my history, my account. I'm selling. I sold this.
You must have like watched another person's listing.
That's what I was saying. I was watching it. And then they sent me a thing. But the phrase in the app was like, hey, you've been offered this,
classic eBay. You can't. I wish there was there should be a Jeff Bezos for eBay that you can be like fucking Jeff whenever an eBay fucks you up.
Yeah, eBay just seems to be the most AI run company in the world. Like it also is Bezos-y in the sense that its website looks like it's still from 1999. Like it's one of the most ugly websites in the world.
I've been spending some time with that Prime app though. I think they overhauled it a few years ago.
The TV app's completely different.
I really like it now, but you're right. The Amazon itself is bizarre.
Because 90% of the content on Prime is like disgusting.
Yeah, but as far as like a UI thing they use is quite good.
I don't love it. There's a lot better UI out there.
I know we've done this before. What's your number one in terms of like easy of
YouTube.
Use? YouTube, yeah.
No,
sure.
Seriously, yeah. YouTube. Netflix isn't, though it is looks pretty. I think it's dog shit at serving content. I think Disney Plus is actually pretty good.
Yeah, totally.
With a clear definition. I mean, it relies on you knowing the sub-brands of Disney Plus, like Pixar, Star Wars, Marvel, Star in Australia. But at least once, if you know that, it makes a lot of sense.
I think
Disney Plus is great.
It's the easiest place to like not just look for stuff that you know is there, but also be like, I wonder if they have this thing.
Good. Netflix is garbage because it shows you like 8 titles that they want you to watch. Like it just is like...
Binge is by far the worst, I think.
Binge is disgusting. Man, I think Binge is rebranding. I got an invite to an event next week, which I shan't be attending, but it looks like...
Spoilers.
They're calling Binge Hubble now, H-U-B-B-L. Hubble. And I've been invited to a red carpet premiere as they throw the switch for Hubble with Hamish and Andy at the Opera House.
What the fuck is Hubble?
Now, I'm trying to read about it, and it says, actors and personalities, Hamish Blake, Andy Lee, Whipper, Joel Creasy, Richard Wilkins. So, I mean, Andrew Winter. I almost thought it was Andrew Levins. I was like, huh. Adam Lior and Carla from Bankstown.
Of course.
Who the fuck is Carla from Bankstown?
Some
sports people. So it looks like they're finally throwing together maybe their like sports app and Binge and calling it something else. Though I don't think it's that because that would actually make sense. I think this is another evil ploy to convince old people to sign up for Foxtel.
Okay.
But I can't find any information on it.
You should just go to the thing and find out.
I don't want to go.
Put on a suit.
No, I'm not doing
it. Maybe you can meet.
Actually, you know what? Oh, there we go. If you type in Hubble, first thing that comes up is Hubble Fox. Oh. Foxtel's Hubble app reveals partners at launch. Okay, the Australian have written about it, which isn't...
Always a good sign.
Always a good sign. Hubble to reshape TV with key apps under one roof. Sounds like they're launching a like LG OS / Apple TV OS that will keep all of Foxtel's apps together. Netflix, Disney Plus, Prime, YouTube, Apple TV Plus, and Paramount are some of the streaming services that'll be available in Foxtel's Hubble launch.
I bet it's a box, a cassette top box that you have... Because Telstra always try and give me one of those things.
Yeah.
Like their own version of Apple TV. Yeah.
I'm trying to see what it is. They're calling it a Hubble platform.
Try and see what it is so you can never use it.
Yeah. Guys, this is not an endorsement of Hubble. Do not sign up to Hubble.
I mean, if it comes out that that they actually air shows even faster than Binge does, like, you know, if I could save
12 40 seconds as opposed to 5 seconds.
I'm signing
Umbrella up. Umbrella have... Yeah, look, I still can't tell if it is.
You got to go to that launch, man.
Yeah, I think I got it.
Get a photo of Whipper.
I think I got to go. I think I got to go. Ocean's 12.
Make out with Carla from Bankstown.
Ocean's 11 style.
Go undercover. That's sick.
This just sounds like another last-ditch effort to prevent them from getting Max launching here, right?
But I mean, and I feel like the hype for that happening is over.
It's long dead.
If it happened now, people would be like, "Oh, that thing that cancels movies."
Long dead. Yeah. Speaking of Warner Brothers taking L's, have you seen all of the doing the rounds today on the World Wide Web? The Batman Beyond film that the Spider-Verse directors pitched a few years ago.
Yeah,
told never.
Was it, and so it was before Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah, right.
Fuck, that movie. That would be a $1 billion movie.
Yeah, for sure. Like a futuristic Batman movie.
So good.
Yeah.
And they're just like, no. And then after the pitch, apparently, maybe. They said, they liked the pitch that they said, we might do this. They are so, like,
they
in a way,
Batman
Beyond was the original Miles Morales in a way.
Yeah, for
where
sure.
Where he has this relationship
younger
with
protege. Yeah.
Bruce Wayne. You know, he is, he doesn't quite have the swagger of a black teen, his name was always goofy. It was Terry McGinnis. I always found that odd, like
Irish.
Fucking Irish Batman. But man, what a...
That would be so sick if that's what he was canonically known as.
Irish Batman. Yeah, yeah. In the like Grant Morrison celebration of all Batman. He's like short and looks like a leprechaun. And but yeah, I'm just like, what a fucking L move to deny. Like that is a version, as much as we like dunk on, you know, the handling of spider people in this
podcast. Oh,
we shall be, because this is the 9/12, as we said
last week. Yeah, last week 9/11.
The rubble hadn't settled yet. Now we're pulling out survivors. We're talking to some of the perpetrators. It's a crazy...
This episode's going to be called the 9/12 of Madam Web.
Yeah, we are all trapped in her web. Her web ties us all, it binds us all. The one thing that they do is like no one gets confused about Tom Holland's live action Spider-Man not being the animated Miles Morales. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
very clear, defined separation there. Unlike the proposed like Batman at one point when they're going to have Ben Affleck, Rob Pattinson. You know what I mean? It's just like have an animated Batman that is disconnected. That's going to make you so much
money.
Just
make more cartoons.
Make more cartoons that look awesome.
Especially like DC has such a long history of making cartoons.
That no one watches. Like,
no, but in terms of like
totally.
The animated series,
yeah, that's what
Batman
I mean.
Beyond
in the first
place.
Yeah. This looked so good. I guarantee you it was strategically like put out in the ether in this like Coyote vs. Acme getting shut down.
Oh, I reckon Sony were like, hey, let's leak that they pitched it to Warner before we took it on so we look better as a studio in the wake of Madam Web.
This movie looks insane. I wasn't even a huge Batman Beyond fan. Like, I like it and think it's kind of cool.
I've never really spent much time with it, but it always looks kind of cool.
I just love the fact it was like canonical to the animated series. Mm-hmm. You know, that's such a cool
and
move.
Yeah, and then if you watch all of Justice League Unlimited, the final episode is like Justice League Beyond or whatever.
Yeah,
and
it's all the future.
It's Justice
like
League
Terry
set.
McGinnis.
Yeah, yeah.
And like
Irish Justice League.
Irish Justice League. Dublin Justice League Dublin.
Irish Joker. That's got to be a thing.
Irish Joker's a Protestant. Now, which one do they have? What's the Sunday Bloody Sunday song about? Protestants and Catholics. Whatever Terry McGinnis is, Joker's the opposite.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
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 So we are going to get into Madam Web. Also want to talk about... I guess the aftermath of Madam Web specifically, but also want to talk about True Detective finale aired last week. So we'll do my final
it
thoughts.
This week.
You're right. Aired on Monday. It feels like a week ago. Lots happened in my world.
Well, Madam Web's web connects us.
That's
all.
Exactly. That's what I meant by what's happening.
It was crazy. It was a big swing that when Madam Web showed up at the end to prevent the murders by force ghosting herself behind.
I also want to talk about the end of PS5 as proclaimed by Sony themselves.
Yeah, which I can't wait for them to walk that back in a week.
Oh, it's so weird. First I want to ask you a question.
Mm.
Did you know that there is an animated movie that was written by Charlie Kaufman
on
Netflix at
it's
the
called
moment?
Like Zora and the Defenders or something, right?
Orion and the Dark is what it's called.
It's
based on like a children's picture book, which I didn't actually realize. Pretty much every DreamWorks animated movie
I saw a thread
is based
about
on a
that.
Book.
I saw like the Boss Baby book. I saw
Shrek.
Shrek's famously based on a book. But yeah, did you know the Boss Baby was based on a picture
book?
Yeah,
yeah. Obviously, How to Train Your Dragon is based on a series of books.
Yeah.
The but best one. Almost every DreamWorks
movie
is
based on a book.
The ultimate
DreamWorks film.
Charlie Kaufman, of course, the writer of Being John Malkovich adaptation and the writer-director of what's Kate Winslet, Jim Carrey movie called?
Eternal Sunshine.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Adaptation, Synecdoche, New York.
That's how you say it.
What's the other one? The one that I can never, I always get it when in doubt.
Such as the A. Oh, no, There was one that was I'm Thinking of Ending Things.
I'm Thinking of Ending Things.
And there was one. He did do an animated movie.
Oh, Mona Lisa.
Yeah, that whatever it is. Yeah, that one.
Mona Lisa.
I've never watched. I haven't seen Synecdoche or that one.
I've seen Synecdoche and didn't like it, but I was it was close to 20 years ago.
Yeah, I really want to hit it.
And I think now if I rewatch it, now that I've suffered depression and live with it, I think I'll actually like it more. I think it was probably too confronting from the raw nerve of my 18-year-old self.
Yep.
Because, I mean, you know, loved Eternal Sunshine, loved... why can't I think of the one that came before it with the Cro-Magnons?
Did he direct that one? That was Michael Palin. What's his name?
Michel Gondry.
Michael Palin.
French Michael Palin. And obviously Adaptation, being John Malkovich.
That movie was cool as shit. What was that one?
Yeah, let's Patricia Arquette.
Human Nature. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Human Nature, isn't yeah. it? Not the beloved Rudy Hill RSL boy appearing boy band.
The first live group I ever saw in my life. They performed
School Spectacular?
The hospital my mum works at their Christmas party.
Oh, by like when they like asked to, or did they just start performing?
No, yeah, they were booked.
Human Nature.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
People forget about that one.
People are going to not even know about this Orion and the Dark movie. Well,
it's been out for 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, and it's really good. I watched it last night.
Yeah.
Because I was like, first of all, it sounds like a great movie for Archie to watch because it's a movie about a kid who's scared of everything. Mm-hmm. And you know, sometimes the
some
things that he's scared of.
Some might say Archie and the Dark. The Dark is the
Archie and the movies.
The fading of the light in the cinema when the film's about to start. Yeah.
But it
did
looks,
he watch it? I get a coaster?
No, this is just for hot drinks. Don't worry.
Flying naked. Okay.
Yeah. I'm having a tea. Angus is having a classic cocktail of carbonated
sparkling water
and
yeah.
nothing else.
That's all I drink. That and black coffee. My insides must be squeaky clean.
But yeah, I was doing the very normal thing of pre-watching a children's movie before I watch it with
for
my children.
Trigger warnings.
Yeah.
Like they go to the movies in one scene. You'll have to do an edit, like where they don't talk about films.
And every time, literally every scene, I'm like, God, he would fucking love this movie so much.
But then someone would whip a gun out.
So it is about like it's really really cool in that like it looks like a generic DreamWorks movie, mm-hmm. but because of that, it does like so many things that you just would not expect the movie you're watching to do.
So it doesn't have
it pulls the rug out
a monkey song in it.
I can't. The only needle drop in it is like a Tame Impala like album cut.
Wow.
And I think like a Flaming Lips song at some point.
Okay.
But so the movie is about this kid Orion who is scared of everything. And the first it's like him narrating, like him trying to talk to a girl at his school, and then him.
How old's Orion?
I guess middle school age. Okay. Like I feel like he's in the weird realm between 8 and 14. Somewhere like I would say he's a.
That's
tween.
A weird number to group kids together at, isn't it? Like at school. Like
is that,
school
is that middle school? Maybe it's a little bit higher. I think it's going to be 10, and, 10 and 14, something
yeah,
like that.
But yeah. still, that's a weird number. Yeah. It should be teens and children.
When I was...
Never the two shall mix.
When the publisher asked me to write a kid's book, they were like, you should write the kid around 10. Mm-hmm. Because that appeals to...
Teens.
Kids that are like as young as 5, because they're like, oh, wow, a big kid. And then... I think up to 14 will be like, oh, he's not too much younger than me.
Pedophiles in their mid-30s.
Of course.
The,
yeah.
The biggest. your biggest market.
So, yeah, Orion is like, he kind of like, is like, oh, here's all the things that I'm afraid of as he's narrating, telling you what he's doing trying to summon the energy to go and talk to this girl. And then he talks about how his like school counselor has told him to make a diary to write down all the things that he's scared of, and he draws
them all.
Would
you call it a diary of a wimpy kid?
That's true.
Is this a backdoor prequel?
And like the animation style, I guess like the character design of the human characters is as generic DreamWorks as it gets. Mm-hmm. Like almost like it
accentuated
looks like
eyes, like big features.
Yeah, yeah, but like but also like very like
clean.
Smoothed off exactly, yeah. It continues, and then this is just all the first 20 minutes of this movie. I went in blind. Mm. If you want to do that, to stop listening for a bit.
Daredevil.
Yeah, that's right. A la Echo, apparently. but
your son must be so jealous. just tie like a blindfold on his head and be like, okay, let's go watch this movie.
So the thing that Orion is scared of the most is the dark. And so his parents are like, please, you know, let us sleep through the night tonight. Please just try and be brave. You know, you know, we're right here. We'll leave the door open. Everything will be okay. And then as soon as the house goes dark, his mind races all these possibilities of what could be there. And suddenly, like at the height of his like kind of like panic attack about it, and it's not too much about like anxiety or like, you know, mental health. Like I feel like a lot of movies have really lent into the animated world.
Like Inside Out or...
Yeah, it definitely feels like it took inspiration from Inside Out. Mm-hmm. But suddenly like Orion's like panic attack is interrupted by someone going, gosh, will you give it a rest already? And it is the embodiment of dark itself. Mm-hmm. And basically this character who is the dark like takes him on an adventure to kind of show him how the night works and the various people that make up all the different things that... But it kind of leans really hard into like that kid's adventure thing, and then it pulls the rug out from under you and suddenly you realize why the narrative has been told that way, a la Adaptation, where it's like, oh, someone else is telling this story, and then it changes again, not in as big a way as Adaptation does.
It's a kid's
movie,
yeah.
Man,
what did Charlie Kaufman do before? Was it that last one?
I'm thinking of Ending Things, which I really didn't like.
Yeah, I didn't either. I mean, I was on board for the first 30 minutes.
Yeah, I just kind of was like, what's the point of this?
It just felt very... And I'm all for pretension. I think pretension
is great.
For sure,
we love it.
Yeah. It just did feel very pretentious.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, wow. I've got to check it out.
So it's a partnership between DreamWorks and Netflix. But
they have a weird partnership, don't they? They do the How to Train Your Dragon
series. But this is a movie. And it's baffling to me that Teenage Kraken, Ruby
that
Gilman.
That got
a cinematic release, but this one didn't. I feel like so many people, just from the basis that it's Charlie Kaufman wrote this movie. You know, Angela Bassett does a voice, a bunch of pretty funny people. Like it's a lot very, very niche voice cast besides Angela Bassett. There's a great joke when you first meet Dark where he's like, you've got nothing to be afraid of. Here, I made a documentary about myself to explain everything about me. And he hits play on a documentary. Guess who the narrator is?
Werner Herzog?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking incredible.
That's so cool.
And yeah, it was just a really, really fun movie that I think hits on as many familiar beats that you've seen in every animated family movie, but then hits on like just some truly strange, like, and I looked at the online reaction of like, you know, kids watching this movie is like, oh, I was loving the first half of this movie, but then like it just the narrative is weird. I'm like,
what does Gerald say?
Yeah, what's that?
What's Gerald say?
I haven't seen what Gerald's yeah, I, mean, I haven't felt the Blazica on this one.
I need to know how high spicy hot this is rated. I like, he treats his film reviews like he's on Hot Ones. You know what I mean?
When in reality, I think he records them on the toilet
after Hot Ones.
After his partaken. Honestly, you watch any of his reviews on his Instagram, and he's like in an echoey room with just a white wall behind him.
I like to think his parents
him.
Are like very ashamed of his.
No, he's like a very corporate job. I think he's doing it on his like toilet.
Oh,
that's
even better than that. It'd be funny if his family like shunned him for liking baby movies, and he's like, "Mom, I'm going to the toilet," and just does like a deep dive on like, I don't know, Shrek.
I admire his dedication to every single.
Similar to you,
movie.
Like I see a lot of similarities. Yeah. Like you're the. I
and people don't know this that like
unboxing toys.
When we record, hey fam, Angus is in his living room and I record in the bathroom.
Yeah, it's the only way we do it. It is interesting though that this is Kaufman like going back to like writing something off an existing. I don't know if he's ever done that for a while.
Yeah, I mean, Adaptation was him reacting
like strange...
to being asked to adapt the Orchid Thief, which I read that book when I was so obsessed with
Adaptation
that I even
read
the book.
Not even he could.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what the whole movie's about.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
How funny is that? Like, you think I'm weird now? In when I was in high school, I read the. Fucking
I could see
you
going to like
Thief
Dimmick's
book.
And asking for it, and I'm like, oh, is this for your like mom or something? And you're like, no. It's for me.
I don't remember if I liked it or not.
I don't think
remember
you did.
that I read it.
I think you'd
I
remember
loved
liking
that movie.
It.
Yeah,
great movie.
It was less about liking it and more of like, good. I'm glad I did that thing that I had to do.
Yeah, I know that. That's like 90% of my things. Like, I always rewatch a season of a show before a new one starts. Like the lead up, despite the fact I've watched them all.
You still haven't watched the last season of Barry, have you?
No, I want to watch all four. No, I do because I kind of forget everything.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I forget most stuff.
Instead
know,
of
like,
it taking 5 hours,
names.
It'll take you 20 hours. Well, one of them's name's Barry. They remind
I know there's
you that
Barry. I know there's Fonzie and Baldy. Chrome Dome.
Yeah.
No, he had NoHo Hank.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good one.
I just know he's like an actor that kills people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, it's a lot. There's a few more layers to it then, but you got the premise.
I remember there's a lot of cool episodes in season three of like single takes.
Oh man, season three is the best season in my opinion.
Four was very divisive, wasn't it?
I reckon if I went back to it now, and funnily enough, we are going to be talking about another divisive finale. Or not so much divisive, I feel like everyone is like, eh.
Yeah.
when we talk about True Detective later. But I feel like if I was to revisit it with a bit of hindsight, I'd really appreciate the
maybe
finale.
Maybe like me now. With Synecdoche, New York.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I wonder what... Hopefully Charlie Kaufman starts doing more. I mean, I think anyone should be able to flap their wings and get crazy, but him doing like a commercially... You know, like a commercial-based film like that.
I mean, I assume... Do you reckon he has kids or something like that? And he was like, I want them to watch something that I've done.
I don't know. I guess it's a combination of maybe he felt... I don't know. Maybe he felt that story spoke to him. Maybe he's like, this is a great movie I want to be able to be a part of, like teach this story to kids. But also like, probably needs money. But it's also a second Netflix production in a row, which is interesting. Like, has he kind of got like blank check shit?
I feel like some like auteurs are like, well, fuck, there's a lot less people telling me what I can't do when I do it for these guys. But then
like,
all he's doing
Noah
is delivering.
Noah Baumbach, right, wrote like the Madagascar films.
That's right. Yeah,
or
true.
Some of them, or Essay. Like, there's really interesting stuff like that. I guess it's a paycheck.
Here's what's fucking hilarious. Did you know that the girl who directed Madame Web?
Oh yeah.
Directed
Prague.
The
I was gonna whip this one out.
Directed the Tom's
Prague.
Bachelor Party
episode
of
Prague.
Succession, Prague, yeah. Where Tom
eats his own
Nazis. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. One of the great episodes of the season of a show.
Yeah, like it's one probably worst, my favorite of the entire
one of the worst
run.
Shows, one of the worst films in the season of cinema.
It makes me think that like she had very little to do with the movie.
Yeah, I think they just needed a body.
And they may as well be a woman. Like, I mean...
Yeah, I think they needed a body to, like, force this film around. Like...
The chick who did Punisher Warzone, which now with hindsight people actually view as, like, a cult classic. She hasn't done anything since Punisher Warzone.
Right,
like,
I did not realize a woman made it.
Yeah.
Crazy.
She's, like, French, I think. Maybe Canadian French.
I mean, a lot of this movie, I'm sure, like I said, this is only the 9/12. We're still learning more, but so much of this film
as
is
as everyone
ADR'd.
Knows, after 9/12 is 9/13.
9/13. And some say I mean, they didn't know it was Osama bin Laden publicly for a while, you know?
Yeah.
We don't know who orchestrated this attack on the two towers of culture, but there was so much of this film is obviously not what it was supposed to be. Like, it was ADR'd to hell. I don't think the horrible French villain spoke any of his lines on set.
Oh, legit. And like I feel like the chick from Girls wasn't even like with him. They were like,
she was shot in a different,
yeah, we have to like add her character in so at least he's talking to someone, like the hacker.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Like, yeah, and all of her scenes were shot in like the same 2-hour period. Like, it's
she's just blogging.
You're right though. I think that's the worst use of ADR. Like, the entire character, you never see his lips move alongside.
So
he's
the back of his
line.
Head.
Yeah,
it's almost like he did the whole thing in another language. And I just still remember the first time the entire cinema laughed at our press screening was when he's like complaining to that like CIA baddie he fucks about how he keeps dreaming about girls killing him.
Yes.
And the whole cinema is like,
it was so,
that is the fact that is the crux of the villain of this very important, the supposed important film at one point in this film's like universe, is that he's like, I have dreams about women who look the same as they do 10 years earlier. Like in this film, did you notice in those scenes, he was made to look more like Ezekiel in the comics, like gray hair, older. That they're the same age.
Yeah.
Shooting like fucking ectoplasm.
What I love about the setup of the movie is that, when like the three of them are friends and know each other and I guess become Spider Girls together. Mm. But like Sydney Sweeney's character is like, oh, I'm Spider Girl. And then the other two just have to make up another name.
Yeah.
He's not
Spider
Girl.
She's like, I'm Spider Girl because I'm wearing like
I'm Spider Girl because I'm a girl who has the powers of a spider. They're like, dude, we also have that. Why are you
really
Spider
really interesting
girl?
Ideas of what they think spiders do in it. Like, they're getting very, very liberal with what spiders can do.
Because they're not allowed to shoot webs. No. Because of that's, I would love to see the contract that like lines out what
webs.
that like what they can and can't do with Spider Men adjacent movies.
It's very, I was thinking also very interesting that both movies, I don't know if this has been pointed out. It probably has though. I guess, I don't think about Morbius often, but the film basically starts the same with, people in like a South American jungle
Yep.
Like getting an animal. Like,
yes,
fucking
totally.
Crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know Kraven's
for like health. I mean, that's almost
health
like
benefits,
criticism
yeah.
of, you know, pretty much
derivative
every
Marvel character.
Superhero and villain origins.
Yeah, yeah. But you know Kraven is starting that way.
Yeah, totally. How funny that the real superhero of the box office this week is Bob Marley.
That's insane. That One Love, baby.
One Love is number one.
Yeah.
On the box office charts this week.
Apparently dog shit, but you didn't need us to tell you that.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess if you're, you know, one of the many Bob Marley fans of the world, you're going to go see it no matter how bad it is.
Or if you have a nagging wife, no woman, no cry, you're going to take her along. And
apparently, in the movie, like, it's very,
very literal things inform these songs, don't they?
Yeah, so you see him fighting with his wife and then suddenly you hear him performing No
That's
Woman,
crazy.
No Cry.
That's awesome. I love subtlety. Subtleties for cowards. Speaking of biopics, the big news today about the BCU.
Oh, the Beatles. We'll get to the BCU.
Well, I think it's a nice tie-in to Bob Marley.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, this is a nice link we're doing.
Yeah, that's true.
I think you shouldn't deny it.
But we saw Priscilla, which I guess is a musical biopic, and that's one that was tremendous.
Yeah, but I mean...
But I would say for the most part, they suck.
I think it depends. I like Elvis Priscilla. I don't really like any other ones.
Yeah.
I'm very curious to rewatch The Doors. I saw it when I was younger. The Oliver Stone
yeah.
with Val Kilmer.
And because I watched Wayne's World 2 beforehand...
That's how I knew about
exactly,
it.
Exactly, they
My parents
it.
Had to yeah. tell me why he was meeting yeah. in his dream, the Lizard King. Yeah, but they're kind of back with a vengeance. We've had Rocket Man. We've had Bohemian Rhapsody. Walk the Line. I like Walk the Line. I think Walk the Line's great. Great performances. But the news today with Sam Mendes making the official BCU with 4 biopics to be released in 2027.
Each one...
Rashomon style? Do you think it's going to be the same events of the Beatles? And we get the George version?
Every Beatle is getting their own biopic movie.
Like, what's the release? Do they do it
all
at once?
Is there a team-up movie at the end? Like,
it's so insane. Yeah, Wings.
Skip the
Linda McCartney walks in the last scene and it's like, Paul McCartney will return in Wings.
Yeah.
John Lennon will return. No, he will die. Like, yeah, I don't know what... It's really interesting because the Beatles have stayed endorsed. I saw Ringo Instagram about it earlier today saying we're all on board and back Sam Mendes.
We're
like,
all on board.
4 movies is unless you watch it all, unless they're 3-4 half-hour movies that play back-to-back. I mean,
sure.
How do you do this?
Are you releasing them all the same weekend? Like,
it's crazy.
But, I mean, I kind of love that as like a social experiment.
I do too. I think it's kind of fascinating. It's insane. I guess like... The Beatles are the people to do it with, like the biggest popular cultural icons of the last like century.
If you're releasing them like, you know, 1 month out of each other, which one are you putting out first?
Yeah, you do John, Paul, George, Ringo. I think you do it in the like the way you say it.
Okay.
John kind of started the Beatles,
yep.
The Quarrymen. You do John, Paul, George, Ringo with the when people joined the band. Or maybe the John movie's the longest, then Paul's the second longest. George, and then Ringo's like a 5-minute short that plays before, I don't know, the latest Pixar movie.
And it's animated in the same style as Thomas the Tank Engine.
Yeah, it's so curious. I mean, the closest thing I can think of, and this is not at all similar, is Elvis and Priscilla existing within the same 24 months. But,
yep.
you know, 2 different filmmakers, 2 different studios, 2 different actors. Like, that's fucking crazy. I will say Barry Keoghan will be in this. I'm not sure who he's playing. I'm already trying to like cast in my head.
Sam Mendes is such an interesting choice for this too.
Insane like, filmography.
One, he's British. 2, his first movie is American Beauty. I don't know if people know.
Because he was a stage
yeah,
director
yeah.
beforehand. That's right. Loved his follow up, which I can't think of the great.
It's really funny that American Beauty was directed by a British guy.
Well, you really need an outsider to enjoy the beauty of America, I mm-hmm. think. You know what I mean? What was his second film? The gangster one?
Road to Perdition?
Fantastic movie, which was kind of like a Western take
Tom
on
Hanks?
Wolf and Cub. Yeah, Tom Hanks.
Is that Tom Hanks?
Tom Hanks, I guess. I did Skyfall, one of, I'd say, top 3 best Bond movies of all time.
But then he did...
Spectre. Which is one of the worst. I've never seen Revolutionary Road, which I've always wanted to. But I heard it's quite meandering. But I guess also the text that it's based off is. That's Leo and Kate Winslet's reunion after Titanic.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yep.
And then he did.
1917, which I've never seen, but won a ton of awards. Roger Deakins, cinematography, won best Oscar.
Is that Al Pacino in that one?
Not Al Pacino.
No.
Not at all. It's a, like,
British. I know it's a war one. I don't know why I thought Al Pacino was in it. Put him in it, I reckon.
I mean, sure.
Yeah.
I think that Benedict Cumberbatch is in like one scene. It's that film that was like, you know,
one take. One take. That's right. Yeah. Of course. Yeah, yeah.
Roger Deakins, cinematographer for Blade Runner 2049. And
then Empire of Light.
Yeah, which apparently is a nothing movie. However, Roger Deakins, I think, did the cinematography for it. I remember seeing a lot of film Twitter be like, it is one of the best looking films and no one's watching it. And now...
It made $11 million at the box office.
Yeah, insane. I think it was a streaming movie.
It's a COVID movie.
COVID movie. Was it Deakins' last film? He's worked with Sam Mendes a lot. He did Jarhead. People forget about Jarhead.
I've never seen Jarhead.
Jarhead's good. I like Jarhead a lot. He did
Al Pacino's in it, right?
Yeah, he's the head. Oh, wow. Roger Deakins. This is crazy. I'm looking at Roger Deakins' role. He was a cinematographer in Rango.
Oh, perfect. I think we've talked about that before.
Which
yeah.
is a CG film, which, oh, man, I've been... Oh, he was Sicario, one of the great... Have you seen Sicario?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Incredible. Yeah.
We know Deakins is a goat.
I've got really big news that I'm so excited to share. I saw this earlier this week. And I was like, I'm so glad. It seems very hey fan that this news has just got out. Gore Verbinski, after what seems like 10 years, has announced a new film.
Okay.
Over 8 years, called Good Luck, Have Fun, Don't Die. The cast is Sam Rockwell, Haley Lou Richardson, Michael Pena, Zazie Beetz, and Juno Temple. The film is being dubbed as an action adventure, centers on a man from the future, Sam Rockwell, who arrives at a diner in LA where he must recruit the precise combination of disgruntled patrons to join him on a one-night, six-block quest to save the world from terminal threat of rogue AI. I'm like...
That sounds fun.
Bro, bring that shit on.
So is he producing or directing?
He's directing it. It's his first film he's made in like close to 10 years.
Yeah, sure. Since Ringo or...
No, Cure for Wellness, which no one saw. But yeah, after we'll talk about the greatness of
Pirates.
I said
Ringo or Rango? I think I said Ringo.
Maybe the Beatles Ringo movie's already out and it's called Rango.
Yes.
I would like it if Gore Verbinski cockblocks Sam Mendes and is like, I'm actually doing the Ringo movie. And it's Johnny Depp as a lizard.
Are they marketing these movies as like, is it going to be like John, a Beatles story or like...
Yeah. I really don't know. It would be really funny... Because Sony's doing it. It'd be very funny if like Kevin Feige has the rights for George Harrison's parents or like the Liverpool, and they're not allowed to mention something unless they like collab, and it's like
and then we get to see Kevin like Feige on the red carpet with a George Harrison hat.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. Yeah, what a weird announcement. This is not, but it's, you know, it's very interesting. I guess the Beatles are thinking of their post being alive career. And their estate is, we had obviously Get Back, which came out 2 years ago, the brilliant Peter Jackson thing. And it's like, yeah, this is crazy. They've never, like, there are films about the Beatles. There's like Backbeat. There's quite a, I Want to Hold Your Hand films where the Beatles are kind of there. Yesterday, the Black Mirror for Boomers movie, as I call it. But we've never had like a biopic of them. It's so weird that I guess they're like,
Now you're getting four.
Everything's happened. You can get away with it.
My biggest hope is that, like, because a biopic...
That Sofia Coppola do a Yoko film?
Yeah, for sure. That'd be great. That'd be excellent. No, but when you sit down for a biopic, you know the kind of style of movie you're going to get, which I guess is why Elvis is so fun, is because it's so...
It's not that.
It's like, so quick and ridiculous.
It's like you've taken a drug. Party drug and watched a...
I hope that, I doubt he will given his filmography, but I hope that Mendes
endorses that.
Well, he has some fun with the genre.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great if he works with like a different cinematographer for each one? One's animated. Well, one's like animated.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Like that'd be very cool. But one's black and white, like A Hard Day's Night.
Yep.
One, like, you know, they lean into that. One's like fly on the wall documentary style, like Let It Be, Get Back. Sam, talk with us.
Yeah.
We've got some ideas. Yeah, well, like,
Soups,
I wonder if like the Soup, John
Soups
story
made a video announcing the BCU. Did you see that?
Yeah, the fact that Soups is announced is that's how you know comic book movies are dead.
I've never listened to the Beatles, but I read their Wikipedia page.
Sounds like they're great. Yeah. But you know that means comic book movies are dead if he's already planning his next
the BCU.
Plan.
Yeah, did he coin it?
I don't know. I don't watch that.
He needs a win.
He needs a win. Yeah, no, he wins enough. I'm sure he wins a lot of arm wrestles, and, like hand based. Combat and based games, slap contests. It'd be really interesting if like the John movie is like maybe the first 4 years of their career and then the Paul movie picks it up. You know what I mean? And it ends with it. Like, I wonder if
that's a way to do it. I don't know. It's so really curious.
Mm.
Very curious as to how these films will play out. I mean, we'll find out in 3 years.
Especially if it's like each of them show like very different periods of time.
Yeah, like the John one's black and white and then the Paul, you know what I mean? Like,
the Paul or the Ringo one is more about post-Beatles stuff than it is about during.
Really interesting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to more details of it coming out. I don't know if I'm looking forward to the movies.
It's almost like the Vince McMahon meme. It's like Beatles biopic, whatever. And then it's like directed by Sam Mendes. Oh, cool. And then it's like four films released in the same year. That's insane.
Yeah, as like a cinematic event, this is pretty exciting, I guess. Yeah,
yeah. I'm all for it. I'm as a huge Beatles head, I'm very curious about why now they've decided this is the time we tell our story. Like, it seems... It's like when the Beatles went to streaming. I remember that was a big deal. Remember they like are the Miyazaki of technology. They're all like quality control. They always like do things one way, and they're very, you'll never find Beatles songs on like compilations for decades or whatever. But
now that's what I call 60s.
Yeah, now that's what I call smoking marijuana with Bob Dylan. Yeah, they're very controlled. So I'm very curious as to. I don't know how much money was offered, or they're looking at the charts, the biopic. Well, maybe Bob Marley, One Love was the... Maybe they're like, we won't do it unless One Love cracks 50 mil first weekend.
We won't do it unless Bob Marley's movie beats Madame Web at the box
office. Yeah. That
I think the end of the Paul McCartney movie ends with Paul agreeing to let the new AI Beatles song be in Argyle.
Oh, yeah. That'd be amazing. It's the twisted mind of Matthew Vaughn.
Yeah.
Yeah, he makes a Nick Fury-esque appearance and is like, give me your song. Fuck, I that movie is so insane, but it's so funny that it's been like it's been bait and switch for me by Madame Web.
So did you make a definitive call whether which one?
Madame Web's a far worse film.
Okay, right, there you
like,
go.
Like, there is flourishes in Argyle where you're like, oh, a human made this, for better or for worse. But it still has the same contriveness. There's a level of contriveness attached to Argyle which is worse, which is like the fake book written about, like, it's just
Argyle thinks that it's something that it's not.
Yeah, Argyle thinks he's on the team.
Madame Web, like, no one thinks anything about anything.
Madame Web has zero thoughts. It's just like...
insane movie.
It's the best collab between ChatGPT and CapCut I've ever seen. Do you remember every second shot in the movie is something starting upside down and the camera slowly turning 180 degrees?
The camera was falling asleep.
Taxis don't drive on the ceiling.
How
did she get to Peru in a taxi?
I know. The biggest realization for me was that, like, such a big deal is made that the mother has gone all these lengths to make sure that her daughter doesn't become...
She's healthy.
Isn't disabled. Mm. So that's why she goes to the Amazon to begin with. But in becoming Madame Web, she disables herself so much worse than she would have been if she was just born the way she was meant
to be. She's blind now.
Hope the spiders were worth it, Mom.
Her web connects us all. It kind of has connected us all in a way. There's been this really collective, like, celebrating of this film. I haven't, you know, some of the reviews are now like, it's so bad, it's good. It's not. It's just, like, very bad.
Yeah, I cannot see this being, like, a one that everyone gets together and watches for fun. It's just
like,
so
they
boring,
thought they had that with Morbius, remember?
Yeah.
It's not happening.
Again, Morbius is also, like, the biggest crime that Morbius and Madame Web pull is that, the most part, they're just boring.
It is dog shit movies with like four sets.
Yeah, and no thoughts.
Zero thoughts.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save big money at Menards.
But let's keep things in the Sonyverse for a moment. Or do you want to go through the... Oh, whatever. I was going to go through the box office taking just because it's so funny how much it ate shit this week.
I mean, you know, maybe we do that because we got Dune out next week, which I'm sure is going to be a... Dune took 30
million.
Are you
seeing Dune 2 tomorrow?
I am.
That is exciting. I'm seeing it on Tuesday.
I'm like beside myself.
You're in full worm mode too, right?
I've finished the book.
So did you read it or did an audio
book?
Yeah,
I read it in 2 weeks.
My man.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah,
the worm book. And now I'm onto the sequel.
You sure you didn't read a book about like the art in Dune?
No, I didn't soups it. I read this.
Yep.
Yeah, I had a great time reading it. Really, really great book.
You're looking forward to seeing things that you read happen on the big screen? Or?
Yeah, I'm definitely not the first to say this, but the second half is like has some really bonkers things that happen in it.
Cool.
The first half of the book is very much like the first film, where it's like, you know, dropping you into this like very well-established world, and you're kind of like learning about fiefdom and, you know, the spice thing and the families. And second one really goes to some fucking places.
Mm.
And I'm very curious as to... how well they will adapt. There are certain I haven't seen the David Lynch one, which I might try to watch tonight. I want to kind of just be
full
tuned
worm.
Up.
Yeah.
And there I had a look on YouTube at scenes that are in will presumably be in Dune Part 2 from that film, and it's fucking crazy. But it doesn't translate as well. But shit, I don't know, man. I think Denis has the sauce. He cooked so hard with that first film.
I hope it's a box office smash.
Well, the first film has made 30 million this last fortnight on its re-release.
Oh, wow.
Which I have a feeling that this second movie...
Internationally or just domestically in
America? Have a look if you've got the box office there. I just read it yesterday. It's like Dune has already made 30 million in a week, which is like crazy for a 3-year-old film.
That would be so funny if it made more than Madam Web did. Long range box office. And
Dune re-release takes film's global box office to spicy new heights. There you go. Well, worldwide, 30 million.
Okay.
In a week.
So just, not quite the big win that we wanted, but
it's a huge win. It's bumped it up now to making from 4 million to 430 million.
That's great. No, it's sick for sure. So
it's an old film. That's crazy.
Madam Web made 51 million worldwide in its first week,
which unfortunately is almost like close to its budget.
No, but people are saying that the budget is like closer to over 100.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank God.
I
don't want those freaks to pat themselves on the back.
Domestically, it made 26 million. Now.
So, I mean, so 26, how much did you say? It made 50.
It's made 50, just over 50 so worldwide. But I reckon it's dust. There's no, like, that is not, has not got legs.
You know what? We didn't pay for it.
That's true. We did the right thing.
Yeah.
But so you compare that to like all of the Sony superhero movies. You have
it's
Venom.
It's not as bad as one, isn't it? Did Morbius go worse?
No. So it's far and away the worst. So Venom 1, let there
be. Venom 2 is the biggest one.
You're right. Shit, Venom 2 is the biggest opening weekend. That's insane.
Well, dude, Venom heads. I mean,
we're here. 106 million.
Unfortunately, I've never paid for any of these films but Morbius.
Yeah.
I missed the screening for Morbius.
Did I go to the screening? I don't remember.
I think you did because I saw it with Noon.
Okay. Venom. The first Venom got 102 million.
What was the first one, sorry?
Venom Let There Be Carnage, 106 million first week domestically.
That's pretty fucking crazy.
102 million for Venom. Morbius got 45 million.
When was Let There Be Carnage? That was post-Endgame.
2021, yeah.
Oh, okay, so it was post... People
during
thought
COVID,
we were going to see Peter Parker
cinema.
Far From Home.
Probably saved cinema harder than Fast.
That's right. It came after Far From Home and everyone was like, oh, we're going to see Peter Parker.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
But all we see at the end is him watching TV. We do. We see him watching TV at the end in that hotel room.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the like world changes.
So
and we'll never be followed up on because he just got sent to a resort. And then sent back to his dimension, but the goo remained, remember?
Yeah.
That's right.
The spooge. So Morbius did 45 million and then Madam Web did 26 million. So
Morbius
huge
diminution. What's Craven going to get? 15?
It says TBD on the graph.
Well, yeah, it's not out. What are you predicting though? I reckon 20.
If I was Sony, I would be trying to sell it to streamers. I'd like, stop embarrassing yourselves like this. And
they have two more coming out this year.
It's fucking crazy.
So funny.
If I was Marvel, if I was like Kevin, I'd be like,
but now we
Sony will buy it. We'll pay, you know, $50 million
we'll
for
it. Disney Plus.
And we'll put it on Disney Plus.
But also, like, we'll buy your characters.
Yeah, obviously that too.
But they won't until across the
But even that's so troubled. Because if
they lied about it being done, right? Didn't they say like, it's out in 6 months?
That movie's like fucking 5 years away.
But didn't they say like, it's out in 6 months?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And everyone's like, I remember Hayley Steinfeld being like, no, we haven't recorded dialogue.
And the writer's like, we haven't finished writing it. And the animators are like in hospital from drawing too hard.
From the boot camp.
From not sleeping for 6 years.
Yeah, that's not coming out for a while.
Great
movie though. That sequel's fucking
good. I mean, it rings around everything else Sony have done.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. That is the one, if those films didn't exist, the Spider-Verse films, Spider-Man would have been procured by Disney by now, I believe.
But that said, like, the Spider-Verse movies don't make that much money. You know what I mean? Like, none of them, they're not $1 billion movies
for
Sony.
I think Sony can use it as clout, the critical clout. And be sure. Like, well, these are the most acclaimed superhero movies in like 10 years.
Yeah.
I just want to buy Spider-Man, that's a $10 billion, $20 billion, you know,
sure
expenditure versus a $4 billion one, which is what they paid for Marvel and Star Wars. They paid $4 billion for Lucasfilm, $4 billion for Marvel. I reckon Sony would sell Spider-Man. They wouldn't start talking till it was like $15, $20 billion.
I think a big part of why I like the Duck Book so much is that it takes me back to a time where
Disney only had like fucking
anthropological. They just made cartoons. Yeah. You know what I mean? And like that's cool.
I mean, there's that, as we found out in our famous Disney Plus episode where we read the titles of things coming to Disney Plus, there's
one
all
of,
that 60s, 50s dog shit, which I never knew of. Half of them were like, Lucky, the Little Penguin, like the fake documentary.
They were made for fuck all. They made fuck all.
The Apple gang, the Apple Brothers or whatever.
Yeah, the
it was.
Apple Dumpling Gang.
Yeah, just like, Apple Brothers. They've always been making like dog shit.
What if we call our podcast the Apple Brothers?
I'd be on it. The Apple Brothers. Sounds like a tech podcast. Like,
yeah.
Two dudes. We pretty much are the Apple Brothers. Actually, I'm looking around the room right now.
It's very, a lot of Mac.
It's very Apple Brothery.
Mac and me. The Apple Brothers present.
Are you excited for Dune, speaking of?
Yeah, of course. I can't wait. I'm gonna rewatch the first one this week.
I did that again this week. Straight out IMAX, but then I wanted to watch it again at home.
I want to try and watch it with B, but I'm DJing every night this weekend, so that ain't gonna happen. I'm DJing a Matchbox 20 show tomorrow with
so jealous, dude.
Main support is Goo Goo Dolls, which I'm far more excited about seeing than Matchbox 20, just because what are they gonna do for
Iris?
All the songs that aren't Iris?
8 minute Iris.
I saw Blink 182 twice last weekend.
How were they for you? I saw them once.
The shows were near identical.
Yeah, it's the same set list. Yeah. I think when
like
you know,
very similar banter.
You reach that age.
Yeah, like you just 50, become a well-oiled machine. Yeah. Travis is my favorite thing about the band, dude, though. Like, as
without
cool as
him,
it is to see Mark and Tom.
Oh, but without Travis, Blink would never have got past Dude Ranch. You know what I mean? Like, they would never be a stadium band.
Worst thing about their set, one song off Dude Ranch. Like, that, I guess... Like,
damn
that,
it, yeah.
Just damn it. Like, no Josie, no, like there's so many songs
they're
from
like
that 50, album.
And they're like...
I didn't mean to see... Like,
they stopped playing Damn It... Dude Ranch songs when I saw them in 2003.
Yeah, I guess I'd tuned out by then. Like, everything since then I've kind of come to appreciate
they play, like,
as an older
Enema,
guy.
Self-titled Take Off Your Pants a lot.
Yeah.
Like, that's the
bulk those
of
are
it.
The three. Yeah. That
yeah.
Most
the
songs
trilogy
off.
Of like when they were the biggest band on the planet.
Yeah.
I had a great time. I saw you briefly on the Friday night
before
the show. Fuck, it was good. Best I've seen them live, I think, musically.
Oh, and the sound in there was fantastic too.
It is. It's so cool seeing that, like, it's awesome. They're back together. You know what I mean? Like, half of it for me was seeing those three on stage because I saw them with Matt Skiba in 2016.
Yeah, right.
In Santa Barbara.
Crazy No Tom.
Well, he left the band when Matt Skiba replaced Tom for like 2 years. So I've seen Blink 8 times maybe. Once was without Travis when he didn't fly out here. They had a drummer from Bad Religion when he had his fear of flying. And the other time was in the States where Tom had left the band indefinitely forever at that point. And Matt Skiba was on. It was very strange to see him singing like the Tom songs.
Mm.
And it was still great, but it was just like, oh, it doesn't feel the same. And now it just... It's like he never left.
I've got two more Blink shows this weekend.
Fuck yeah.
They're in the same... They're at Sydney Olympic Park. In
same
the,
night as Taylor.
Same nights, both Friday and Saturday.
Dude,
the Taylor
how are you
Swift
getting
nights.
It? You should start walking now.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a car space already locked like, because I get provided one because I'm working. And I guess because I have to get there early, but then have to... I have to play late. I should be okay just to hopefully get out of there like an hour beforehand or an hour early. Hopefully that's enough for it not to be too much of a problem. Taylor fans are fucking psychos though.
They'll like, be lining up now.
I did a very similar gig where I played parking? Backstreet Boys.
Oh, that's right.
The same night as Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
And I think a Korean star.
Yeah, that's right.
And so it was like three venues at max capacity. And they actually paid me extra to play for longer and like cranked up the music because they wanted people to stick around as long as possible. So they didn't try and get trains or drive.
Because Sydney Olympic Stadium is, as the crow flies, very close to where even where I live.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like it's like the middle ground between both of our houses.
But
yeah.
It's like incredibly terrible place to get to by public transport. They didn't even build a direct train line to it. You have to catch essentially three trains from the Sydney's central station to get there. It's like,
yeah, it's stupid. Sydney to there Strathfield, is a direct Strathfield one that they can put on sometimes.
But they don't ever do it.
Yeah, they only do it for like big events. It's really weird.
Well, they'll be doing it for Taylor Swift.
Yeah,
right?
I guess so. Yeah, Taylor's like apparently Melbourne just it was just like
chaos.
Like, Citizen Taylor, like yeah, like you get off the plane and it's like welcome Taylor, and insane. It's like my name is Andrew.
Sure, I'll take it. Yeah, that's crazy. Saturday night, that starts Friday, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be 24 hours out of Dune just thinking about that. I think.
Yeah, I'll be
dying to talk.
Finishing
about it
on Saturday night, 48 hours before Dune.
Oh man,
we're both
Dune
going to
bookends
different
our lives.
Different, yeah. We're the worm at either side.
Dude, I'm so excited. That I ordered the
popcorn bucket.
No, someone's bought that for me. Is sending it over. A listener of the podcast.
Shout them out.
Shout out to Trashwire.
Shout out Trashwire.
Alexis Gentry. Gentry. I don't know how to pronounce it.
You don't need a full name.
I take that back. They're sending it, and I'm so excited. They just sent a photo of it then at the cinema. Said I got this for you.
That's amazing.
I'm so excited. I love our fans. I will not be saying what I will be doing with that bucket. But I'm so excited for this movie, man. I haven't been this excited, and when we all know how that turned out, since Rise of Skywalker, like for a film.
Brutal. Crazy.
Where it's just like, yeah, yeah. I've been waiting. This is going to be so good. But I
know. Oh, this is going to be a much better experience.
Like gonna be a good they're not going to say, the worm is actually your dad.
Because, like, yeah, if it's going to be a similar experience to Rise of Skywalker, I'm going to start drinking now. Forget walking to Taylor.
Chris Nolan has called it this generation's Empire Strikes Back. I'm hoping that's not a Tom Cruise-esque flash.
Yeah, that's
endorsement.
Right. That was pathetic.
But I do trust everything that Christopher Nolan says about films. It's not something he fucks around with. He loves Did you see him getting interviewed by Stephen Colbert last week? And he starts like going ham on Fast and Furious. Colbert's like, I've never watched one. He's like, what do you mean? He's like, I've watched them so many times. And then he's like, oh, they're amazing films. He's like, oh, look, you could probably just watch three as a standalone and enjoy that. Five onwards, they really start creating their own lore and stuff. And like, he is ahead.
He's locked in.
It's crazy. He's locked in. And he's just like, he even says to Stephen Colbert, he's like, you should just watch three as a standalone and let me know how it goes. Like, if it were, like, he's like, I think that one would work the best as a standalone.
That's amazing.
Like, dude, he's locked in as hell. Like,
imagine being a night host and just not being able to do anything else with your life. Like,
chatting to people.
All you have to do is like read newspapers and read,
they don't read
and other people's jokes.
I don't read it. Other people read it for you. Your team of like 20.
Or if you're Jimmy Fallon, you just drink.
You just drink and laugh and buy ape NFTs.
I love him.
Fuck, what was the other thing? He'll say that he loves it. An interview during Oppenheimer, he's like started quoting Talladega Nights, and he's like,
yes, I knew that.
Yeah,
but both he and Scorsese have come out in the last little while and said that their
Matter Web Rules
favorite movie of last year, Past Lives.
Oh wow, no, I did see that. Yeah. Well, good for them. I'm glad they like. I it was fine, just not
banger
five
movie.
Stars and best movie ever. Sorry, they made far better movies. I thought. Far better films.
They're all good.
Past Lives is a fine film.
Yeah, the Holy but Quadrilogy. Killer, Past Lives, Killers of the Flower Moon, and Oppenheimer, and Madame Web.
Madame Web. But no, Killers and Oppenheimer fucking body that movie. Maybe Celine Song should have directed Madame Web.
I mean, if you've seen what her next project
is. Yeah, it
looks
crazy.
Fuck, the cast is... oh, wait, Dakota Johnson's in it, right?
Wait, is it really?
I think so.
Web connects us all. Celine Song.
That's so good.
Yeah, what is the next one? No, I wrote Ceiling Song. It's a song. Lizzie McAlpine apparently has a song called The Ceiling Song. Celine Dion song.
Dakota Johnson, Pedro Pascal, and Chris Evans.
I mean, wow.
Madam Web, Mr. Fantastic, and Captain America.
Oh, yeah, the fantastic stuff. Let's, how are we going?
We're going to wrap it up in five.
Yeah, we'll jump in.
Should we just talk about the PlayStation 5 quickly.
Oh yeah, wrap it up in five minutes to the PS5.
Wrap it up like the PS5 is wrapping up.
Yeah, this, I mean, not only the PS5, but also the talk this week and the last few months, to be honest, the very heavy talk, which now being kind of confirmed that Microsoft and Sony kind of shit the bed on this last generation. I don't know how much COVID is to blame.
I don't understand how you managed to launch new consoles in the middle of COVID successfully. Like, for all intents and purposes, their launches, very successful. Well, in spite of everything.
You couldn't buy a PlayStation 5 for about 2 years into its cycle.
And even Microsoft for a few months, you couldn't get an Xbox.
Now, I think more damning than Sony saying because when you add it up, PS5 has been out for 4 years, which it doesn't feel like.
It feels like it's never started cooking.
No, you know it feels what I mean? Like it's still in that first 6 months when you're playing upscaled versions of old games because you're waiting for a game to
and
drop.
Because I feel like I remember the moment. It was like an E3 showcase during the PS4's life where they showed off Death Stranding, Spider-Man. It was all this incredible reel. And I was just like, fuck yeah. And it was like so many of these like awesome looking games are all coming to PlayStation 4. I'm so glad I have this console. This rules. I've never had that moment with the PS5.
Well, the moments you do have with it, you can also have on the PS4 because all these big games have been cross-platform Spidey 2, which should have been a fucking launch title.
And it's so funny to me that like people are always like, hey, Nintendo, when's the next console? And they're like, oh, Princess Peach is coming out soon.
They were like,
the Switch is going to have a 20-year lifespan.
Seriously, no, it will. It will. Like, it honestly will. But I think
no one's asking PlayStation 5, hey, where's the PS6? They were just like, yeah, the PlayStation 5 is going to start wrapping up soon.
Well, I think more damning, as I was saying before, Microsoft are like, we're putting our games now on Sony.
But yeah, we're in
They've
talks.
Announced four titles. No, they've announced the first four titles. Oh, crazy. Yeah. They're not the big Bethesda ones yet. Because I guarantee
this is
they will
They're
be.
Testing the waters.
They're like
Hi-Fi
Rush. There's a few others that I can't think of. There's a big one, but they're just like...
Hi-Fi Rush is a Bethesda game. So that just shows that they are open to those Bethesda 100%. Games not being
They've announced the first four. And they're just like, yeah, here are the games that are coming to
but
PlayStation.
But isn't that court case... That's what they want them to do, is to not be... Like, you know, not have these exclusives, because it is...
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of them saying, like, people aren't even playing our games on our consoles.
It is. I've cancelled my PlayStation Plus subscription. Yeah. I'll get it back if I need
it
for an online game at some
half
point.
Half price during Black Friday. It was like $60. And I was like, I can do that for a year.
I'm trying to cancel my Game Pass, but it's linked to my phone.
I can't do it either.
How the fuck do you
I've tried it? Doing it. And said, every time I go to it, says like, you cannot perform
Telstra,
this.
If you're still listening after we insulted Binge for 5 minutes at the start of the episode,
did you
can
get
you
that
please
warning,
let us
though?
Know
it's
how to...
Like, I've tried doing it through the Telstra app, and it's like, you are unable to perform this.
Ugh. I don't want to call Telstra. It's the worst thing in the universe, calling Telstra.
It sucks.
Yeah.
But yeah, Game Pass, no games.
Like, yeah.
I would say out of this generation between those two, because I'm not including the Switch because it's an interim generation, though it is head and butt, shoulders the winner.
And butt.
Sony has had a far better
Yeah, I mean,
games.
They definitely have memorable games that I'll associate with the console forever, for sure. But yeah,
Microsoft,
it's like, oh yeah, I dabbled with Forza.
It's had games
that
are on
fun.
Steam.
Yeah,
or like games that aren't that great.
The Halo game was good. Halo Infinite.
Halo Infinite single player, really good experience. I had a real fun.
But yeah, they totally fucked the online.
They fucked the online. That game was supposed to be like 5 year shelf life. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
They fucked it. Because this generation will be remembered for remasters, remakes, and acquisitions.
The biggest
you know
thing
what I mean? Because
they
are just acquiring. They're in the business now of acquiring and making these always online games,
like, or like all Sony games have to be those AAA, you know, third person narrative, like super realistic adventure games.
But the only person that can really pull that off is Hideo Kojima, because he makes like anti versions of those.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
He takes the foundation of that and then flips it. Like,
yeah, I'm quite bored of like now that I feel like it peaked with Last of Us 2, and I'm kind of good for that genre. Like I enjoyed what
Look,
I played
when they
as Spider-Man
Last
2.
Last of Us Part 3 in like 8 years
after they re-released Last of Us 2 five more times.
Yeah, when they release Part 3, I'll be ready for the third one. You know, but
for sure,
I feel like that
studio certainly. That's the only like that classic Sony style narrative. Kind of like action adventure game.
Can pull it off.
I'm not excited when other companies do that anymore.
I really never clicked with Ragnarok.
Yeah, I stopped playing it.
God of War.
Yeah.
I was very
after loving the first one.
Loved the first one. The first one's so simple. You can remember the story for the first one.
It's sure,
taking your ashes, your mother's ashes.
Yeah.
I know nothing about the second one.
You finished it, right?
I finished it. I can't Crazy. Tell you what happened in it. It was a lot of characters meeting each other with the same names that I was supposed to know. Very strange.
Just felt like very on rails for me. And I was just, I'd never felt like I was fully in control of the game.
No. I finished it out of obligation. Though, having said that, I'm very excited for next week's Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Yeah, totally. It looks like there's some good third-party games coming to PlayStation.
Well, that's first
part.
Like, I mean, it's an exclusive. It's exclusive. Not out on any other...
Yeah.
It's part of that.
But I want, like Sony first party have made tons of games throughout history that are some of my favorites.
Totally.
And it sucks that...
What they do is acquire now,
They shut down that... And I hate this fucking phase of gaming.
Yeah.
But, like, they shut down Japan the Japan Studio, studios Japan that have made so many bangers.
Japan Studio that, did, like, Eco,
budget titles. As well.
Shadow of the Colossus.
Ape Escape. But, like, Ape you know, Escape. The Wii games. Loco Roco. And
the old...
Patapon. Like,
Sony, especially for the first three PlayStations, it felt very Japanese still. Nothing about this cycle is feeling Japanese.
This feels so fucking American.
The most Japanese thing I can feel is Death Stranding, and that's
and then the third party ones like Elden Ring and
Sims America.
Yeah, Elden Ring and
well, speaking
and Final
of that,
Fantasy.
We've got the DLC announced tomorrow.
That's exciting.
Mm. The game I spent I think 180 hours on,
and like you know when the Switch brought together the Wii U and the 3DS, I was like, oh cool, they're not going to be like doing two different consoles anymore.
No, and they never will.
And it definitely feels like we do get smaller size games on the Switch.
Yeah, of course.
I wish they wouldn't charge full price for them. I think that's fucked. But for the most part, like I like how many different types of games Nintendo are releasing.
Yeah, far more experimental.
Whereas
there's not like, this like, we must have AAA games.
Microsoft and Sony have just spent so much money acquiring shit.
I
feel like we get less games.
Remember there was that
it.
Article, and I swear it was like, a few years ago, Sony had a plan for like 21 live service games.
Yeah. And I feel like Sony
I guarantee you one of them
back.
Was Naughty Dog's Last of Us Factions or whatever it was. That's gone.
Yeah.
Like none of this is
experts
happening.
Told them you don't want to
like,
do,
don't
this.
Do this.
Don't go down this
don't
road.
Don't make this. Yeah. It's really insane. This generation is going to be remasters, remakes, and acquisitions.
And shitty live service games that you can't play anymore.
And you watch it
5 years
next
into the
year
future.
When the Nintendo Switch 2 comes out, which I've heard is now rumored first quarter 2025. 2022.
Tommy texts me like, can you believe? I'm like, dude, who cares? Like,
you know that thing's going to be pushing PS4 Pro at most and it's going to fucking dominate the market.
Yeah, totally.
Because people just want games.
Exactly.
Like, they want fucking easy accessible games. They're going to make the library compatible. You know what I mean? Like that's all you need. It's going to push maximum. Like only Nintendo will be able to unlock 60 frames, I think. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
No one else
knows how to, like,
and no one will care.
Push the buttons right.
Because it's
a
fucking Switch 2.
I finished Prince of Persia on my Switch last
night. Oh, yeah, so you said there's a rap song at the end?
It's a fucking Ubisoft, man. I forgot I was playing a Ubisoft game for so much of
does
it.
Does Will Smith do it? Is it like his movies where
no,
he raps
it's like,
the plot?
It's some, like, European white guy putting on an American accent. Yes. And like, they don't play it immediately, but I had the credits just kind of, like, running in the background. And then, like, yeah, suddenly a beat starts. Yo, Prince of Persia.
What should I play first, Blasphemous 2 or that? Because I'm going to take, obviously, the Switch to Japan, and I want to play a handheld thing that's
okay. At the time, as I was, like, in the middle of Prince of Persia, I was like, this is a far better game than Blasphemous 2.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having finished both of them, Blasphemous 2 is my preferred game.
Okay.
I think Prince of Persia has surprisingly, a few less quality of life things that Blasphemous 2 does.
Oh.
It's an amazing fast travel system
in
Blasphemous 2 where you can always use a spell to warp you back to the center of the map.
Cool.
And then from there, like later on in the game, you're able to jump around to any save point. Whereas,
I don't need to play one, do I?
No, man. It's just
there's no storyline in this shit.
If you're like you're going to be in Japan, you should just when you're going to have your Switch, like right, like
yeah. This is why I'm asking, like because I'm going to play.
I missed
Final
that part.
Fantasy.
I was too busy thinking about how cool of a game.
I'm
going to
play
were.
Remake and Rebirth as like the games I play before I leave my console behind.
Fuck yeah, I'm not going to see you for so long.
Well, it's
well, thankfully I'm away on tour with 5.
Thankfully, and I'm away on tour with 7. the Final Fantasy. But I've almost finished Remake again, and I just want to like. Mainline Rebirth before I go, but also to lock myself in so I don't get like sick or like spend money on dumb shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, good call.
Yeah, so very excited. I fucking wish we got sent copies of Final Fantasy games. I reach out to them and we get nothing.
I mean, you would be talking about them every week.
Yeah,
great advertising for them.
I know.
We get sent the Yakuza games and then don't even talk about them.
That, you know, that's one good thing about Game Pass. Every Yakuza game's on there.
That's true. I think I have every Yakuza game just on my PlayStation 5.
They were like on ridiculous sale at
all
the moment.
Time. Yeah.
Apparently the 1 and 2, the Kiwami,
run much better. I know you can't tell the difference, apparently.
is it a bit? I'll never tell.
One runs 60 frames per second on Xbox, but only 30 on PlayStation 5.
Interesting.
Because I think they, you know how Xbox sometimes has the PC upgrades? Like, I don't know. Same with Mad Max. Mad Max game runs like 120 on Xbox.
Oh, right. Crazy.
It runs 30 on PS5, despite like both being the generation prior. It unlocks certain things because of the PC link with
Xbox and Microsoft. I wonder how they play on Steam Deck. I was kind of considering like if playing the Yakuza games that way, I feel like I would like really, really get into them.
Yeah,
I
think them. You could
sync that. I don't know what it is. I just don't like sitting down in front of my TV to play games, whereas I like sitting down in front of my TV on a handheld console.
See, my living room is essentially my like... could be like a game den. You know what I mean? Yeah, there's no one else in there. There's no other eyes.
I'm alone in my house most of the time.
Just, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I love playing on the TV. I feel like
I'm
large and in charge.
Turned it on last night and there's just stripes across it.
I hate that for you.
It's like my story, it has pinstripes.
They really feel for you because
I'm going to call LG.
Is life good?
We'll find out.
LG.
You know what? Life's always good when you're a PayFam subscriber because we're going to hit stop and that's it for HeyFam this week. But if you're a subscriber to PayFam, $5 a month at patreon.com/HeyFam, you get a bonus episode, not just this week, but every week we record HeyFam. There's over, I don't know, 200, 300. I've never checked. I've got no idea. Someone let us know. Hundreds of hours of extra episodes of HeyFam.
Crank the numbers. Tell us how many hours.
My favorite Patreon member, ChatGPT. Mm. And you also get access to the HeyFam Discord, where you can find out, you know, or have a place to discuss the many things that we discuss. Plus,
lots
also
of
we're in there
jokes,
too.
Lots of yapping about Dune 2 about to come up.
Madam Web, she's in there.
Mad Web's in there.
But yeah, come join us, patreon.com/HeyFam. The next episode is going to be all about True Detective Season 4. We're going to be talking.
We've just got a nice update about the future of the Jurassic series.
Yeah, the Gareth Edwards, right?
Yeah, I'm all in.
We're going to talk about that, I guess.
Yeah.
I got some, not just True Detective, maybe some true crime that happened around the corner from my house.
Well, I think you're living in night country, brother.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
It's been fucked up over here. So come listen to what is surely to be a wonderful episode of PayFam over at patreon.com/HeyFam, and we'll see you there.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money at Menards.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.